Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 81. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm the very excited Amy Matheny.
Why are you very excited?
Because today's guest is like just, I mean, I just can't gush enough every time I talk to her. So it just doesn't get any better than having this job and getting to talk to Sandra Bernhardt, who will be on the show and who you just heard some of. And who I have adored and loved since my gay ex-boyfriend Jerry and I used to do her entire Without You I'm Nothing show. Like, we'd put it on cassette and we would drive to Chattanooga and just recite the entire thing. Yeah.
Back and forth. Yeah. I don't know. I've always had this weird love-hate with Sandra. I've never seen her live. And hopefully, and when you guys are hearing the show that very night, I'm going to be seeing her. Or something like that.
No, in a few days.
That's right. In a few days, I'm going to see her. But I've never seen her live. But I've loved her as an actress. And I think she's always really interesting as an actress. Yeah. But she was playing kind of one note there for a while. And she got over that, which I was really happy to see.
There's nothing like seeing her live. And honestly, she's a great interview. She's so fun to talk to. I think she's best in an interview. I think she should have a weekly interview with me.
Did she ever talk about Charlie Rose? We got to find out if she ever did Charlie
Rose. I don't know if she's ever done, but girl, we talk about The View because she, you know, she created all that. Nowadays, it's normal fare with Rosie O'Donnell in there, but she's just kind of been, you know, had a hand in all kinds of...
had a finger in a lot of different...
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Michael Musto, who's the reviewer for The Village Voice, who we're going to be talking with in a couple of weeks, you know, he had written he writes articles for The Village Voice, and he wrote this one back that it's a compilation of many of his favorite articles. And, you know, he talks a lot about her, Sandra, just because there was such a time when... You know, I don't remember what it was. It was something for the environment when she and Madonna showed up in matching outfits. And that was kind of the heyday of the Madonna Sandra whole are they, aren't they kind of thing. And it's just so funny. Like, she's just fodder for such good conversation, much of which we're going to have today on the show. But she's been just a popular culture icon to me. Yeah.
And she's very, I think, malleable in the news too, that she can be very political. She can be very funny. She can be very, oh my God, girl, why did you do that? Or she can be very smart.
She's not a 10 out of 10 in terms of does she always hit her mark with what she's trying to do?
Damn good game.
But she hits it out, you know, where the aim goes. So Sandra Bernhardt on the show with us today, and you're going to be hearing her stuff, mostly selections from Hero Worship, which was her last full big show that she brought here to Chicago. She will be at Steppenwolf at the Traffic Jam series on March 3rd, and Peter and I will both be there, and we definitely encourage you all to get tickets quick.
Yeah, fast, because that's
only two shows and on one night.
Zoom, zoom. So, you know, there's this little news thing.
Controversy
that I'm going
to talk about. It's good to talk about controversy on a Sandra Bernhardt show.
It is controversy. So I don't know how many of you listening to the show know the character of Shirley Q. Licker.
If they're listening to this show, I think most people do.
They may not. How's your doing? She is,
Well, who is she?
Well, she's actually played by a guy named Charles Knipp. He does basically a blackface drag character who is just insanely funny, and it's insult comedy. I have to put that out there, and I have to say that like that because I truly believe what he does is insult comedy. He's very stereotypically racial. He really is just racist to the nth and makes fun of everybody, makes fun of himself. He, as the character of Shirley Q. Licker, apparently has 19 children from different fathers. They live in the Deep South. She's big. She's fat. She's got an accent. When you're talking about blackface,
you're already talking controversy. I mean, it takes us back to the Ted Danson Whoopi Goldberg roast. It takes us back to, you know, whiteface or blackface, and the history of that is intense.
It is intense. And I think that's one of the reasons that, in my opinion, that's one of the reasons why I think he does it, because it really does just push so many buttons and it really stirs up the drama pot. So apparently GLAAD condemned it. There were some visits in New Orleans canceled. I have an interesting thing to talk about. He was here in Chicago. He performed at Soundbar, and I spent almost the entire performance shooting pictures of him, and our publisher wouldn't publish them.
Yep, I remember this.
Which I was really...
We wouldn't even run ads of them or promote the event.
Which was
boycotted, and she gets boycotted, or he gets boycotted. A lot.
With that said, there's such an appetite for this kind of extreme comedy, I think. What's her name?
Sarah Silverman?
Well, Sarah Silverman, she's kind of an insult comic. Who's the large New York woman? She's like the female... I'm terrible with comments.
Leah Delaria?
Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, I don't know who Lisa
She's
Lampanelli.
A huge insult comic. She spends the entire show insulting the hell out of every race, every nation, every creed in the audience, you know. And she goes around doing it. And that's one thing that Shirley Q's shtick is kind of about. He insults who he is and what's going on around him. But I don't know. I just think this is, you know, we talked about in the last show, there's that knee-jerk reaction when people get outside of your comfort zone for people to condemn them. And I can't see, GLAAD, don't you got better fucking things to do? He's openly gay performer. We can't support him in anything?
Yes, but he's an openly gay performer who's white, who's playing a black woman. I mean, you know, there's so many things here that, you know, are, you know, it's one thing when somebody like... I don't know. I mean, what's the difference in Tracy Ullman portraying a black woman when she does
Tracy Ullman playing an old Jew
character or an old Jewish person,
you know,
or you know, and some sort of Eastern cab driver male? You know, there are these characters, and I don't quite
Halle
know.
Halle Berry and Baps. I mean,
I don't quite know what the fine line is, and if there is a fine line, it's definitely going to start a conversation. And if people think that, you know, if people are, I mean, GLAAD is kind of coming out and against things lately right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like against Isaiah Washington and against the Snickers campaign and now against Shirley Q. Licker.
All in my mind, all easy challenges.
I think, you know, what it does is it lets people know these things are going on so that a dialogue can happen. So they're not happening in a vacuum and we're just supposed to digest them. I don't think there's anything wrong with pausing because something like Shirley Q. Licker makes me pause. It makes me pause and I don't know. And this is where it's so subjective. This is where it's so subjective for me to go, why doesn't Tracy Ullman make me pause? Perhaps because her comedy is not as crude.
Perhaps because you're white like her. I mean, I'm just putting that out there.
Charles is white too. I mean, he's white from Kentucky, and I'm white from Tennessee.
That's why I don't have a problem with him.
I mean, Tracy Ullman is white from England, though.
Right.
You know, and she mocks Americans, and she mocks. I mean, she doesn't mock, but I think, you know, she plays a gay man. She plays all these different characters. I somehow see her as an artist, less as like a shock kind of performance comedian, and Shirley Q. Licker more as a kind of shock value performance artist. And you know, I don't know, this all goes back to the whole days of, you know, the NEA not letting Karen Finley and Holly Hughes and Tim Fleck, what is his name, why am I drawing, Tim Miller and John Fleck, like, do their shtick. You know, they were the famous four that were held up back in the 80s, you know, saying that their art was absolutely obscene. I don't know if I've had it put out there yet that Shirley Q. Liquor's doing art.
Well, even if it,
but even if it isn't,
even if it is
art,
art or it isn't called art, I look at it as comedy, right? And if you don't like it, just don't partake of it. But now there's people saying, you know what, we're going to cancel this guy's gigs. He's not going to make money. He's just, it's to me, it seems a little too extreme in the approach to take that away from him when there is obviously a huge appetite, because I know I can walk up and down the street and I can ask 15 people if they know who Shirley Q. Liquor are, and the 14 that know who he is are like, oh my fucking god, I love him. Now granted, we're in a gay ghetto right here.
Is it white people or is it black
Anything.
People seriously
Anything. Seriously,
because I mean, I think that's the interesting thing, is that you just don't want it to look like white 20 to 40 year old white males who are of some affluence laughing at this character.
Why does that make you uncomfortable?
Because I think that just screams of mocking you know, an African-American woman who is of low economic status, mm-hmm. and, you know, just places huge, just has huge ethical and moral questions.
But the flip side of that is like not to draw an extreme parallel, because I know I can't, but you know, Sandra Bernhardt making fun of dykes or using the word dyke or
she
making
is a
fun
dyke
of,
though.
Well,
I don't know,
her,
who she
or her
can
making
make.
Fun of straight people. And I mean, is there, I guess my point is there any, can you find a parallel?
But
in
I know
someone
she's
else?
Sandra Bernhardt. Like, she is Sandra Bernhardt saying what she's saying as Sandra Bernhardt. Mm-hmm. It's once again, you know, the fine line of what we talked about in our last show. It's like, say what you mean. And I'm not sure that all of the white, affluent, gay men who probably go into these clubs that cost quite a bit to go into to mm-hmm. see Shirley Q. Liquor perform, you know, are not people who would mock or have disdain for this kind of woman. And I think that is different than Sandra Bernhardt getting up and going, I am Sandra Bernhardt and I am going to talk about what a goyim, or, you know, and taking her own Jewish
me
Yiddish,
being the Shonda.
Her Yiddish, right. Her Yiddish isms that she's going to use, or as being kind of this bisexual supernova that she kind of is, saying what she thinks about George W. Bush. I mean, she's saying, this is me. I'm Sandra Bernhardt. This is what I think about these things. And I am saying it as myself. Charles, you know, many people could take Charles Knipp and say he is literally masking himself and his viewpoints and his prejudice and his moral high ground against this character that he's playing. You know, he's hiding behind it and allowing people to provoking people to laugh at her. Well, and I'm not saying, you know, I mean, definitely you've got the Wayans brothers doing white chicks. I'm not saying that there's areas that
white
people,
chicks, they did that whole video where they were in blackface.
They were in whiteface.
No. I'm not talking about white chicks. I'm talking about what was the movie where they go through the whole process of blackening up and they talk about everything. It was just amazing. I can't. It was more of an independent film. I believe it was a Spike Lee film. I lied. It wasn't an indie film. It was a Spike Lee film.
Bamboozled. I have not seen it. Yeah. I mean, I just think this is all, you know, it's, oh God, it's once again, can like only gay people say the F word? Can only black people say the N word? Can only, you know, where right. is the line? You know, can Isaiah Washington not say the F word because he's a straight man? Can, you know, I don't know. I just think that unfortunately there are moments where, you know, within your core, that if surrounded by not all of the same kind of people, if you were not in a room where the entire room didn't look like you, how would you feel? And I don't think anywhere you've probably seen Shirley Q. Liquor is there a representation of anything other than mostly white and mostly male.
Not, well, I mean, I've been there. I've seen him
multiple
times.
Okay, maybe you have. Maybe
so
you have.
But the rainbow is representative. I have to, in his defense, he also does several other characters. He does large, fat, white women from the north, from the Maine and the Minnesotas. And he does, so he runs this insultive gambit, but it's just, I mean, for me, I think it's just absolutely wrong for GLAAD to come out.
Well,
it's,
and
I
they
think
come
it's wrong
out
for GLAAD to do it and to put themselves out there, because to me it's like, you dumbasses, don't you have better things to do? Don't you have
well but
better
this is what they
do?
This is what they do. They highlight what they think are misrepresentations of you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual and trans images in the community, and they're more watchdogs.
She's not even a gay woman, the character he's playing. He's just
I know.
They're attacking a gay actor, and that's what frustrates me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. thing, though, because then we say that we are without reproach. And I don't think that's true either. I think gay people can create bad images for our community as easily as a straight person, and probably have for many years.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just... More will be told, but the way I look at GLAAD is that they are just watchdogs. So, you know, they can condemn somebody. If people don't get on board with it, it won't matter. Mm. If nobody gets on board a boycott, it's like if people hadn't boycotted Coors years ago, they didn't get on board with it. People could have just gone, well, I don't care what they give their money to. Mm. People, you know, I want to drink this kind of product. Mm. Or people have to get on board with it. So we'll see if anybody does.
Yeah.
You know, if they tell people not to go there, will people go? Are people still buying Snickers bars or are they not? You know, it's the whole thing, and more will be revealed as to what the momentum behind it is. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it's conflicting. You know, it's obviously controversial.
Yeah,
and fun for us to talk about.
Yeah, and I think,
and I'd love to hear what other people think about it.
Yeah, honestly. If you guys have any, I mean, really, leave us a comment on the website. I would love to know what you're thinking. You can drop us an email, any of that good stuff. All the information's there. I would love to hear what you think about it, because I know, in talking to a lot of people, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you look like, or where you come from. When you first encounter an insult comic or somebody like that, it kind of hurts.
Yeah.
But then what do you do with that?
I think the only insult comic should be Triumph the Insult Dog. And that's my thoughts on that. Truly. I think Triumph has it locked up.
Lisa Lampanelli can come over for dinner at my house anytime, because I love her. And did you not see the Pam Anderson roast?
No.
Oh, that's like some of the best television ever.
You'll have to send that to me. Well, if you want to see great representations of GLBNT on television, on network television, I don't think there's much B yet, but there's definitely GLNT, and you know some of the models are probably B. I say Ugly Betty is absolutely the most gay show we've ever had.
You work for ABC Girl.
I don't, but I'm just telling you, they have trans characters, they have gay characters. It is just a part of who these people are, and yet they show some of their common struggles with it. Not on a deep level, on a light level. I think that it's accessible. I just think it's amazing that obviously you're going to have these characters in the fashion world, and they have not pretended that they're not there. And I just, I'm just saying kudos to the Ugly Betty team. Mm-hmm. I'm delighting in watching it each week.
Making people think and busting open some stereotypes, hopefully.
And as we go on to gays and idols and role models and all of that, we are moving into the big season that is the Windy City Gay Idol. Peter and I will be in a local bar in Chicago near you, trying to find, again, the best GLBT performer. And I have to say, this is our fifth year, the big fifth annual, and we have really done quite well. I would say a couple of years that the talent surpassed anything I could have possibly expected whatsoever. So this year will be a big year unlike any others. And so
it made me see karaoke as an art form.
Well, if people do it right.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, get drunk and sing a song. There's people who take it really seriously.
You didn't see it as an art form back when the Huey Lewis dawned in the duets with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Huey who?
Huey
Remember
who?
How old I am?
Yeah. Oh, good God. Don't play the young card to me. Don't insult me. Don't be an insult comic with me.
I thought it would work. Damn it.
No, it won't work. You know who he is.
I know who he is. He wore bandanas on his knees, didn't he?
No, I don't know.
Or was that Bruce Springsteen? I get them confused. Truly, it's a little bit of a blur at that time in my life.
You were just too many drugs.
No, I was in classical music. I was being trained. I was singing opera. Nope. You're calling my name, Herzig. I really was. So
okay.
It was an interesting time in my
life. God love you.
Me and Lucia Poop were good friends.
Lucia Poop.
Lucia Poop.
So Idol will be coming along, and we will be telling you about it here. Our kickoff event is at Stargaze, and then we'll be at Hydrate on the same first week. So, hey, folks, if you want to come out and compete, you've got a friend who you think sings, you want your girlfriend to do it, or boyfriend, so you'll win. They'll win $1,000 and a pair of American Airlines tickets for you to go somewhere fabulous. Mm-hmm. Just check out our website, WindyCityMediaGroup.com. We'll also probably have it linked on our Windy City Queercast site. And we have a MySpace, too. So all that will be linked up on our site, and you can find out more and see pictures and all that kind of stuff. So come out and see us live and in the flesh. But now, live and in the flesh, we've got a big show with the ultimate diva, Sandra Bernhardt, on it. And news, and Jerry Nunn with all Potter's Picks and all kinds of stuff. So more after this.
Guess who we got to star in Legends? The hilarious comedy by James Kirkwood, Joan Collins, and Linda Evans together again for the first time since Dynasty. Of course they get along. Gotta go. That's Joan. Angel, isn't it thrilling? darling.
No, I never dreamed Linda would be acting with me again. If you call that acting.
That must be Linda. Linda, sweetheart, I was just talking to Joan.
Really? Well, I've always enjoyed her work, ever since I was a little girl.
Are you talking to Linda? Find out if she's still in show business.
Is that Joan? Find out if she's still alive.
Hang on, I'm patching you through on conference call.
Joan?
Linda?
Darling!
I thought you were dead!
Joan Collins and Linda Evans live on stage in Legends, the comedy about big stars and bigger egos.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry, GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 19th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Germany, 1722. Seven musicians apply for the prestigious post of organist at the Thomaskirche. Insecurities, shortfalls of talent, and wildly clashing ideologies collide, creating complications in a witty and wild exploration of music, ambition, and art. Don't miss Bach at Leipzig at Writers Theater. This vibrant play draws its inspiration from history while taking much delight in its fictional flights of fancy. For more on Bach at Leipzig, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
The Wooden Breeks is playing now at the Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. Heidi Stillman directs Glenn Berger's masterful tale of a man tormented by the memory of his beloved and stuck in his own story. Join dreamers, schemers, and would-be lovers navigating their way through the murky Scottish town of Brood. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Picks. This week's picks are about Lily Allen, lilyallenmusic.com. This 21-year-old singer, her style is reggae pop from England. It's called The Littlest Things. It's her new CD. She was just on Saturday Night Live. And speaking of new music, go to windycitymediagroup.com and check out Windy City Idol. I will be judging at Stargaze March 4th. It's 54 19th Clark Street here in Chicago. The 7 o'clock sign up if you want to be a singer and a star. 8 p.m. start. Also, if you want to see me judge again, go to Crew on May 1st. It's 4804 North Broadway. 7 o'clock sign up once again at 8 p.m. start. Come try out or enjoy and support your friends here on Windy City Idol and check it out. Thank you for listening to Jerry Potter's Picks, and keep listening to me every week on Windy City Queercast.
The Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Legends, a comedy by James Kirkwood about big stars, big egos, and big hair, starring Dynasty stars Joan Collins and Linda Evans. Playing now. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
But we can control that. We can't control nature, honey. Nature will jump up and bite you on the ass and say, look, don't fuck with me. You're fucking up the land. You fucked up the water. And we're coming in to wash the shit out. Floods and shit. And they broadcast out of Atlanta, GA. They have those gorgeous black men in suits, all bisexual, out of an E. Lynn Harris novel. Crazy, all, ow, sexy and hot. And then they team them up with some white cracker, little blonde, crazy bitch.
Well, how y'all doing? And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In Pennsylvania, Richard Laird has been sentenced to death for the 1987 murder of local artist Anthony Milano for a second time. Laird was first convicted in 1988 and sentenced to death. However, he appealed his death sentence, and last August, a federal appeals court ordered a new trial for him, citing errors in the original trial.
In a survey of 222 unmarried HIV-positive parents, few have made legally documented arrangements for the care of their children if the parents die. Only 28% had prepared legal documentation of their guardianship's choice. On top of that, studies have found that children who lose a parent to HIV and AIDS have higher rates of depression, risky sexual behaviors, and other behavioral problems.
In Montana, a measure that would have prohibited sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination died in committee following objections from the Catholic Church and other groups. The bill, which was tabled by the Senate Judiciary Committee after it failed on a 7-5 vote, was sponsored by Senator Christine Kaufman, an openly gay Helena Democrat.
HRC lauded the U.S. Senate for passing a resolution to fund an increase of $75.8 million to Title II of the Ryan White Care Act, said HRC President Joe Solomonese. Quote, "The Care Act is nothing short of a lifeline for over 500,000 Americans with HIV and AIDS. The legislation now goes to President Bush for his signature."
China has praised Gao Yaoji, a well-known AIDS activist, days after the woman was confined to her home. A move, fellow activists said, was aimed at preventing her from accepting an award in the United States. Gao, 80 years old, is to be honored next month by Vital Voices Global Partnership, a nonprofit group supported by Senator and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton.
Charles Knipp's Blackface Drag Act has been canceled in New Orleans and Connecticut. GLAAD condemned the openly gay performer's, quote, ugly racial stereotypes and his character Shirley Q. Licker, whom Knipp describes as a welfare mother with 19 children from different fathers living in the Deep South. Knipp, a white man from Kentucky, performs the character in drag and blackface.
On 60 Minutes, country singer Kenny Chesney talked about why the word fraud was checked on the separation document of his marriage to actress Renee Zellweger and denied that he is gay. Concerning the gay rumors, Chesney said, "It's not true. Period. Maybe I should have come out and said, no, I'm not gay, but I didn't want to draw any more attention to it. I didn't have to prove to anybody that I wasn't gay."
Well, get your leaded shelves, folks, because the five female stars of Desperate Housewives will debut as limited edition dolls in June. The Madame Alexander Doll Company recently unveiled the likenesses at the annual Toy Fair in New York. The dolls will retail for $129.95 each.
They should have some great clothes. Which one do you want?
I just want them all.
I want them all.
Like pulling hair and wrestling and fighting and
I just want
duking
Brie.
It out.
I just want Brie in her very perfect little
hair.
Outfit. Mm. Yes. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Throughout her career, Sandra Bernhardt has always been just a provocative tour de force. Her observations on life are sometimes bitter, often ironic, but always hysterical. And I just love her. Sandra comes to Chicago as part of the Steppenwolf Traffic series for two shows only, both on the same night, Saturday, March 3rd. And from what I know, after seeing many, many of Sandra's shows, from the brilliant Without You, I'm Nothing to her most recent critical hit, New York, I strongly encourage you not to miss it and get your tickets now. Hey, Sandra, how are you?
I like that intro.
Thank you.
I like it a lot.
I try to be nice to the ladies.
Well, it's always nice to get that kind of support.
Well,
we're out here busting our asses and trying to, you know, call a spade, just,
yeah,
you know, really get real.
Yeah, well, I looked up the word tour de force today because I'm kind of a like a word junkie. And it was this thing of brilliance. And I was like, that's what I think Sandra Bernhardt is. A thing
of brilliance.
That's what a
tour de force is? A thing of brilliance?
Yes.
Really?
Isn't that great?
It is great. I had no idea.
It's for people who follow my career, and I do have a very small one, Sandra, they know that I just absolutely worship you. And,
I'm delighted. Thank you.
You came to Chicago with Hero Worship, yeah. Which was your response to September 11th. And
right.
I mean, lady, things have gone from bad to worse.
I mean, since you did that show.
Believe
me. I mean, I was one of the first people right after 9/11 just to, you know, bust out and say, listen, I don't think it's everything that it appears to be. I think that there was a lot of coercion. There was a lot of lying. There was a lot of bullshit. And, you know, I mean, Bush has just, you know, topped it off with, you know, one deception after the next. And I think it's the end. I think it's kind of the end of cronyism in politics at this point. I think it's really interesting to see Obama, your home, you know.
He's our homeboy.
Yeah, you know, on 60 Minutes last night, come out and just really talk and, like, you know, address things head on, you know, racial issues, political, international, everything he had to say, and including all the stuff with his family was just, I don't know, I just that felt like he was really genuine, and I think it's just enough. People want the truth, and they want it from somebody who's not afraid to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, he's a very sexy man, the Barack Obama. If you get to meet him in person, he's...
Well, I'm sure eventually I will.
I'm sure you will. So what are your thoughts on... I mean, you're a political gal. What are your thoughts on this whole Hillary, Barack, the possibility of a woman or an African-American to become president?
Well, up until, you know, really almost yesterday, I really thought it was going to be all about Hillary. And I have to say, being a woman, I always try to, like, you know, hold the highest thoughts for other women. And I just feel like maybe it's kind of the end of the line for the Clintons, and maybe it should be.
Mm.
I think that, you know, she's a very political beast, and I think she plays a certain game that's not that different than a lot of the men.
Yeah.
So I just think somebody needs to say no. You know, the war in Iraq has to end. We've got to, like, pull out. We've got to finish it off. No matter how it ends, it's not going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
We blew it. We went in there. We stirred up the hornet's nest. We tried to impose our will on an ancient culture. And we don't know anything about those kinds of cultures. They're thousands of years old. And we can't go in and try to, like, say, oh, you know, they want our kind of liberty and our kind of freedom. They want our kind of thinking, and they don't. It's just, look at it. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, right now, I mean, it's another, you know, it's 2 years away, but I feel like, or a year and a half, but or as the Prime Minister of Australia said, March of 2008. I don't know if you heard about that, but he came out today and said that, you know, voting for Obama in March of 2008 would be the perfect, you know, triumph for the Al-Qaeda. And I was just like, excuse me, it's November.
Yeah.
So other than that, you're great. I mean, he's such a putz. I was over in Australia 2 years ago, and he's just like, you know, Bush's butt boy, another one of those guys. He's just like, you know.
And he has a lot of them. Many, I mean, some of them are scrambling away, but some of them just stay there for it, don't they?
Well, he's one of them, guy, this can't think of his name right now. It's not really worth, you know,
not worth giving him any accolades.
Yeah, but anyway, it's all, and Barack just, you know, responded by saying, well, good, then you send 20,000 troops over.
Right.
And that, you know, he said that would probably be the end of the discussion. Well, but he said he was flattered that, you know, that the guy, even Howard is his name, something Howard, that he was even, you know, he had such a strong response, like, the night that he, you know, announced his candidacy. Already this guy was, like, you know, freaking out. So that was a good sign, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm going to kind of jump, but because we're talking about Bush, I kind of just have to. your appearance on The View just created quite a buzz, and YouTube went nuts with all the hits, and boy, did you think when you were walking onto that show that you were going to stir up the hornet's nest that was?
Not at all.
And actually blaze a trail for Rosie O'Donnell, who's just kind of kept on what you started, which I love.
Right. I have done that show so many times, and it was such a, like, the whole thing was so out of left field. I mean, Star Jones, I guess, probably knew on some level that she was getting the axe, so she was pissed off. And, you know, she was always a big mouth. She never let anybody get a word in edgewise. And Meredith Vieira was gone, so she was the only level-headed person there, so there was nobody to really pull the reins. And then that little Elizabeth Hasselbeck was trying to, you know, flex her muscles. She thought she was going to get all, like, political with me. Ugh. And it was like, oh, come on. Ugh. What a lineup of, you know, crap.
Yeah.
You know, but I just kind of, like, I for once I just decided, don't get into it. Just, like, watch the whole thing unfold. And they will all reveal themselves, which they did. And it was kind of genius.
Are you glad Rosie's on the show now?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's perfect for it. I just wish there was just, like, a more fun, entertaining way of, like, you know, talking about what's around us in front of us. I think, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm better suited to, like, talk about things and still keep it ironic and weird and funny. And
I agree. I mean,
I think you have to walk that fine line between still being entertaining. And I think that a lot of people lose it when they get into the, you know, I'm going to, like, make a statement mode.
Right. Right.
But she's great on the show. I mean, I think she's, like, you know, obviously she works very well.
What's my theory that they saw you on there and they went, gold mine. And then Rosie said she would come on the show. And so she's just tried to be caustic, like, the entire time she's been there. But I think the seed was planted by you, Sandra.
Oh, well, I think they had already offered her the position at that point. But thank you for your vote of confidence.
So I had the pleasure this summer of being in New York. I was actually moving my girlfriend from New York to Chicago. And,
Good move.
Thank you. And we had the night free, and I was like, oh my God, Sandra Bernhardt has a show. So we got to see Everything Bad and Beautiful.
Oh, great.
You had just an amazing band with you. Are they planning?
With me in Chicago. The Rebellious Jezebels will be with me.
Excellent. Because music is such an integral part to your live
really
shows.
Is.
And it almost seems that it's grown and grown and how it's manifested. And,
right.
And, you know, I want to kind of know, because in past interviews with you, I know you're all about the Mary J. Blige and what a year the ladies had. And also with what's been going on with the Dixie Chicks and kind of what the pat on the back they finally gotten now after being left out to dry. What are your thoughts on what's been going on in the whole music scene?
Well, you know, I watched part of the Grammys last night, and of course I was really excited for the Dixie Chicks. I'm particularly good friends with Natalie Maines. And, you know, but I think just musically, I think there's just too much out there. I'm overloaded. I'm overloaded with the downloading. I feel shut down to music right now.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's a lot that really inspires me. I don't know. It's like a weird dilemma because I love music so much, but I think I'm just burned out on it.
So are you putting original stuff in this upcoming show? Or are you looking more and going down that?
I have one original song in the show I'm doing in Chicago that I actually co-wrote a few years ago with Mitch Kaplan, who I've written almost all my musical explorations with.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, I'm doing some covers too. I always do covers because, you know, I have a way of doing them that brings, like, a whole other, you know, sense of irony and
people are going
to
hear
to them.
People are going to hear some of those in our show today because we're featuring you throughout the show. I want to talk about also in Everything Bad and Beautiful, you talked about your partner, which was the first time I've ever heard you talk about a relationship in a show.
Right.
Why did it seem like it was the right time to finally talk about your life and not what your observations on life were, but, you know, what is your nucleus and your family?
Well, I think that, you know, when you feel like a relationship is solid and there's really something to be mined from it, then you kind of go there. And before, it was always just sort of, I don't know, I didn't have that much respect for the people, and now I do.
Yeah.
So it was, like, really worth, you know, putting myself on the line. And also, I feel like even when I, like, kind of make statements and do these things, there's always, like, once again, that I kind of go back and forth between is it real or isn't it? You know, that's always been the ambiguity has always been such an important part of my work.
Well, it's an important part of you. I mean, I think that you're kind of a gal for guys and for men and women, for gay and straight. I mean,
right.
You look back at your career, it's like your hot Playboy spread. And
right.
Then you had this titillating friendship with Madonna that started all those rumors. And it seems like there's just been a little bit of Sandra for everybody throughout the years. And I'm kind of curious as to why you think you... Was it because you were kind of, I don't know. I mean, is it just who you are? There's that ambiguity about who you are that you never got, like, you were never pigeonholed as this lesbian performer or this bisexual performer.
I think that's the least important component to my work.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think that addressing sexuality and romance and love and all of those things is you know, across the board.
And even gender, though. I mean, I think you were really, I mean, even in that Playboy spread, like kind of shattering some gender types that I thought was so
right,
fabulous,
right.
You know, and it seemed, intentional.
I think it's just really important for people to like do what they want to do. And it's really nobody else's business what they do. And
right.
I think right now that all this sort of like, you know, all these gay preachers and all these people trying to figure out their sexuality. It's just, it's so interesting and weird that,
yeah.
You just have to stop and go, what is everybody trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, that Reverend Ted Haggard, they have now announced that he has had
heterosexual, yes.
Yeah, he's had intensive counseling and Jesus has put him back together.
Yeah,
he's completely.
He was cured of his homosexuality in 2 weeks. You too.
You too.
He's cured of your I mean, he's such a complete flaming queen. You know?
Oh, God.
It was like when I finally saw him in that documentary on HBO.
Yeah.
God, something about God is talking to me or something. I don't know. It's Nancy Pelosi's daughter directed it.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
it was just interesting to see him because it was just so like, no shit, you're gay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of Nancy, many people remember you as Nancy from Roseanne. And then,
oh, you're funny. It's like great segue.
I'm good. See, this is how I work it. Like I said,
in my tiny
way, I have a following. And then you were on Will and Grace and you played yourself. Now, I mean, you have to know you're truly a gay icon or an icon of some sort if you appeared as yourself on Will and Grace. Because the only people who I can remember did it was like Yoko and you and Kevin Bacon. Did anybody else? And Cher. I mean, that was like it. I mean, everybody else, you know, played somebody else.
Right.
But then you came onto the L word.
Yeah.
And I have to say, my favorite role, because all you got to do was come on and throw shit at Jenny, which is something that I think has been a fantasy of at least many of my friends.
Well, it seems like this year she's getting more and more of a thrown at her.
Isn't she?
I guess, you know, people have just kind of hit the wall with the character. Although, I think now it's kind of stupid. It's like, what's the point of having her on if everybody hates her so much?
Yeah. I mean,
they should let her evolve a little bit instead of just being so, you know, odious and disliked.
Yes. But was that experience, I mean, the L word, was that experience good? I mean, I'd be remiss.
Yeah,
the lesbian
fans
would.
It was fun. It was fun. I mean, they shoot it up in Vancouver.
Right.
So I was in and out of there several times. And yeah, I mean, the girls are all sweet. They're nice kids.
Are you a regular viewer of the L Word?
Yeah, I do watch it. It's just so little that's kind of fun to watch on TV that,
yeah,
you know, it's a fun show to watch.
We have to keep soft things around the house, though, because I want to throw things at my
funny,
flat screen.
Oh, you're funny. You throw them at the screen.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend and I, we do a running commentary, which is why it's fun to watch it, because it's like, oh, she's ridiculous. This is absurd. She's disgusting. What are they doing? I mean, so.
Somebody fix Shane's hair, for God's sake.
Thank you.
How could she be a hairstylist and have the same? Yes, the Shonda.
The Shonda for the going on that hair. I don't know. I don't get it because she could have that hair any way she wants. I just didn't see her grow it out into like a, even like a little page boy or something.
Or some
like
color in it
disaster.
Or something.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. See, my vision, God, I'm already thinking of like my fantasy now would be to like sit with you and your partner and me and my partner, like Mystery Science Theater and do like
funny.
Watch the L Word, have different guests every week. You all could
that
do it one week.
That's a funny idea.
Yeah. Peter, get on that. My producer over here.
I like it.
And I have to say that Peter would like to talk to you later because he needs to meet Natalie Maines' husband. But that's all I'll say about that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
I don't think he cares if he's sweet. He just really has a
thing for it. He's cute, too. He's cute. Adrian is cute and
yes,
sweet.
Yes. And on a big hit himself now. So,
yeah, right?
How is motherhood continuing to change you?
Well, it's always a constant challenge and testing my patience. Basically, that's the biggest challenge, because sometimes you just want to scream and tear your hair out and go, shut up, you're driving me crazy. Yeah, kids are so jacked up and running around, and I mean, she's a great kid. She's changed my life in every wonderful way, but there are moments when it can be a little exhausting.
How old is she now?
She's 8 and a half.
Oh, wow. That
yeah,
doesn't even seem
great.
Possible.
She's a great combination of, like, really smart and still, like, a total little girl, and it's nice because she's not like a bratty kid she's not precocious. She's smart but not precocious.
Yeah. So do you feel like it's all softened you a bit, the relationship, the child, or do you still get angry at things and caustic about things?
No, I don't think I would consider myself to be a soft person in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, I do. I think I feel more relaxed than I did, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep up that sort of like pace and stress level forever.
Right.
You know? But I do a pretty good job of it.
Well, and I mean, things shifted for you. I mean, your spiritual journey seemed to shift. That became introduced in your shows first. Now you're introducing your family and your life into your shows. And
right.
So I'm very eager to see, because Steppenwolf, when they talked to me about this, they said, you know, she's bringing a new show. And the show is Plan B from Outer Space. And I'm I'm curious, is this like based on the 50s, 60s kind of scientific thing, or the Ed Wood movie, or the birth control pill? Or
it has
what's
nothing
the...
to do with that, Ashley. It's a show I put together over the New Year's, this past New Year's weekend. I was at Joe's Pub here in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And whenever I do my New Year's shows, it's just like kind of throw caution to the wind. But there were actually a lot of good things that were very topical and I thought were worthy of taking on to other venues. So I'm kind of doing both shows at the same time. Some venues I'm going and doing Everything Bad and Beautiful because I've not really done it anywhere other than New York and LA.
Right.
And then I'm doing this other show because I'm kind of coming into Chicago doing this two show and one night thing. And it's like, it doesn't really give me the time to properly present Everything Bad and Beautiful because it requires lighting and, you know, so I might bring that show back later.
I hope so. It's a great show that Chicago needs to see. I kept waiting for it, kept looking out, and then I saw that you were coming here.
This show is it's more spontaneous and it has more audience interaction. It's really more of it's better for a club setting. I know that Steppenwolf is a theater. How big is Steppenwolf?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's like 500-seat theater. It's really very cool, though. Yeah, it's a very cool space. And they definitely do master classes. And this is a part of a 3-week festival where there's musicians and performance artists and
I don't know. Maybe I'll do a hybrid of Everything Bad and Beautiful and the new show. Because if it's a theater, the new show is not really, it's not theatrically oriented. It's much more like, you know what? I'm going to leave it up to the last minute. I'll see.
We'll have your band with you. I think they'll be able to go down whatever road you want.
Listen, we have either one down. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
we'll give you the best of both worlds.
And it's such a historical company, too. I mean, you know, this is
I know Everything Bad. I'm good friends with Laurie Metcalf.
Of course,
who's on Roseanne, who's always, you know, going back to Chicago. She's from Chicago. And, you know, great. Chicago's one of my favorite American cities. I think it's a great town.
You're a Midwestern gal.
I am from Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan. So now tell me, what changes do you start seeing in yourself now as an artist, as you're putting a show together? I mean, what is kind of different in when you were putting together, if you can think back on the formation of Without You, I'm Nothing to when you're working on Plan B for this New Year's? I mean, is their process different for you?
Well, when I was doing Without You, I'm Nothing, I was collaborating with my friend John Boscovich, who had so much of his own vision he imposed on me.
Uh-huh.
And we did a couple of shows together. And finally, I just went, you know what? I'm not a gay man. I'm like Sandra Bernhardt, and I'm tired of like reflecting what his emotional state was.
There you go.
So it was like, I just said, I'm going back on my own again and doing my own shows. And now it's like so liberating because, you know, you do collaborate a little bit along the way with whether it's your musicians or people that are just in your life that people will throw ideas at me. But overall, I'm very much in the moment and my process is very improvisational. Like most stuff I write is on stage.
Yeah.
Like I'll come up with a germ of an idea and then it'll just evolve from there. And then I'll fit the music in or I'll improvise a song. It it all happens very kind of organically. And then day to day, I just write down ideas. I jot down thoughts and observations, and then I kind of weave them into the work.
Well, it's always very exciting, and it feels like it's thoughtful, but at the same time, very spontaneous, which I always appreciate. And you're also, we're just on Las Vegas. You continue your career. You've been on a lot of television shows. You were on Las Vegas recently on NBC right. with James Caan. How was that experience?
It was great. You know, I mean, he's like a legend from The Godfather and all, you know, he's been around forever. And we all of our scenes were together, and I kind of like I'm harassing him, so it was a very funny dynamic. And
you're his Kathy Bates.
It was sort of like it was a little bit of a nod to that. I play his housekeeper, and I'm sort of obsessed with him, and he's trying to get rid of me. So it was all very funny. And actually, in April, I'm on an episode of New Adventures of Old Christine with Julia Louis-Dreyfus that I shot in LA about a month ago. So that was also a lot of fun. She was fantastic to work with.
Oh, well, we would be looking for that. And I guess my last thing is I just kind of want to know what's on your hot list right now. Movies, books, personalities. I mean, you mentioned Barack. Obviously, you enjoyed his interview on 60 Minutes. I
right.
just always find it interesting what's kind of, you know, pricking up your ears.
Well, actually, the one album that I've been listening to and enjoying is Belinda Carlisle's new French album called Voila.
Really? I have
yeah,
to get
this.
Yeah,
she's been living in the south of France for quite some time, and she decided she wanted to do something really different. I think she's just burned out on the whole pop thing. And
yep.
It's actually a beautiful album. I highly recommend it. It's like French pop classics.
I love Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah, and she was in New York week before last, and we got to hang out with her for a couple nights, and she's in really good spirits, so it was really fun. We had a great time. And also, one other thing I'm trying to get done right now, I don't know if you, and now I guess you probably didn't get the Q Network that's now defunct, but this really funny guy, Jackie Jett.
Yeah.
You can probably go online and Google him and check him out. And as a matter of fact, some of the episodes we did is called The Queer Edge.
Uh-huh.
I think they're on... Just go to Jackie Jett. I'm not sure where they are, but there's somewhere out there on the web you can like download them or something. What do I know? I don't know. I don't even have the lingo down right. Anyway, so we're trying to get the show set up at another, less gay-specific network and do it again. So that's another project I'm working on.
Well, we will look for that. All I have to do is Google Sandra Bernhardt and Jackie Jett. You'll find it.
Yeah, you'll find it.
You'll find
yeah.
it just like that. It's well, really, where everybody great. Needs to see you is they need to not miss you at the Steppenwolf Theater. It's two shows only, folks, one night only. Saturday, March 3rd, the show is Plan B from Outer Space, a little bit of everything
whatever
bad
I
and beautiful.
Up doing,
whatever
believe
she,
me,
she'll
be
just be there. Sandra Bernhardt live on stage. That's all you need to know.
That's right. At this point, that is all you need to know. Very few people can do it.
That's true. And for tickets, you visit steppenwolf.org or you can call the Steppenwolf box office 312-335-1650. 312-335-1650. Sandra, I'll be there and I can't wait to see you and everybody else. I hope you can come out.
Come out in a major way.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
That's got to last. I guess I should have closed my eyes when you took me to the place where your horses run free. So I felt a little ill when you showed me the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, started to worry, wondering if I had enough class.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.